My mic is here now.
Yeah, I ditched the Diva mic for the preacher mic. Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. People are starting to mingle in, so that's great. Good to see you. I'm seeing a lot of faces that, you know, I haven't seen for quite a while, so it's good to be back here in Kokomo and be back with you. I hope you can hear me all right with this. Jim is telling me to scoot this thing up, but all right, here we go. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. As you look at the title of today's lesson, you might be thinking that I'm here to embark on a lecture to give you financial advice. I assure you that I am not the person to do that, and so that will not be the case here this morning. Instead, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus introduces two areas in which we can lay up our treasures. He says this in verses 19 through 21. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." And then he says this in the last phrase, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This passage is a warning against materialism and against covetousness, and it's an encouragement to the investing of our lives into spiritual endeavors. And there are a few principles here in this very short text, just these three verses, all we're going to look at, but there's a few principles here which I believe are foundational and are transformational to the sustainment and the development of our faith. So I want to take some time today to think for a while on a spiritual level about what Jesus has to say about why and how that we can transition from a materialistic mindset to a spiritual mindset through this short text that's in the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to look at just 4 points from the text. The first point that I want to make from this text is as we think about what we invest our life in, we choose the nature of our investments. And Jesus just kind of bears it down to two simple choices. We've got two choices. You can lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, or you can lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But you choose. It's not something that's going to be forced on you. You have to make the choice in your life. So we're not talking today about what house you're going to buy, what car you're going to purchase, what stock you're going to invest in. We are talking about the choice that you're going to make in life as to whether or not you will invest your life into earthly things or into spiritual things. Now, when he talks about laying up for yourselves treasures on earth, what's he talking about? There's a lot of things that are considered earthly possessions, earthly-minded areas of focus. One of those things could just simply be sin as a whole. Are people who invest their lives just seeking out the next drug, the next high, the next bottle of alcohol, seeking out things like that. So sinful things could be one of the areas that would be an earthly area of focus. Colossians chapter 3 talks about how we've got to kind of get rid of our focus on things of the earth and focus also on spiritual things. And the things that are things of the earth in Colossians 3 are sinful things. But not everybody who focuses on earthly things is necessarily focused on things that are, by their very nature, sinful. Sometimes our focus on earthly things is that we are focused on money. We are focused on property. We are focused on our possessions. We are focused on our recreation. We are focused on our vacations. We are focused on our knickknacks. We are focused on our cars. We're focused on our clothes. We're focused on our junk. And we're focused on our stuff. Those things are all earthly things. And Jesus says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. He encourages you not to let that be the priority of your life. Not to let that be what's most important to you when you make this choice. But you choose. Now the other option is that you can lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You can live for spiritual things. You can focus more not just on the here and now, but on the hereafter. And he encourages us to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. God gives you the free will to make the choice whether or not you're going to pursue the material in life or whether you're going to pursue the spiritual. Now, second point that I want to make from this text is that investments, no matter what you invest in, whether it's stuff here or whether it's eternity, if you're going to really make the investment work, it is going to require sacrifice and it is going to require self-control. Notice the phrase, lay up. If you're going to lay up a treasure in one specific area, then you have to sacrifice something to do it. For example, if I'm going to choose to invest in funding my retirement, because as preachers, we self-fund it, right? We don't have programs. We self-fund it. So if I'm going to choose to invest in funding my retirement, I may have to choose not to take an expensive vacation in order to do so. I may have to choose that I can't eat out every day of the week, or I won't have any money to fund my retirement. There are certain sacrifices that have to be made if I'm going to invest in what I think is important for the future here. If I choose to buy a new car, well, that might mean that I can't remodel my bathroom this year because I got to make a car payment. So if you're going to lay up, you sometimes have to make sacrifices in other areas. That's the financial principle that I think we understand. But looking at the text before us, choosing to focus on material things may very well lead to a lack of investment in spiritual treasures. So take a look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It's connected to the context. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon just be money, treasures, earthly things. You cannot do it. Why? Because if you're going to focus so much on earthly stuff and money and possessions and career and all that stuff, then it's going to take a bite out of your spiritual focus in life. But if you're going to focus completely on spiritual things, it's going to mean that material things are going to start to mean less and less to you. This is why the choice matters. One will impact the other. So, are my life's investments, a question we ask as we realize that whatever you invest in means you're going to be sacrificing the other. Are your life's investments worth what you are sacrificing to be invested in those things? For example, if I'm investing myself fully into work and I'm working overtime whenever the boss wants me to work overtime and do whatever the boss tells me to do so that I can make more money, is it worth the time that I'm sacrificing not to bring up my own children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Because there's going to be some give and take somewhere. You're going to have to sacrifice something in order to do it. If I'm investing all of my energy into my physical house, is it worth what I'm missing out on God's family? If I'm investing so much in sports and band and hobbies, those are earthly things. Is it worth it if I've got to sacrifice Bible study and worship and my brethren and those spiritual opportunities? If I'm investing my life into my college education or continuing ed, is this worth sacrificing my spiritual education time? And there are a lot of people, they go off into higher education, they don't have time for the Lord, and then they say, well, I'll come back later, and they never come back because they got used to sacrificing spiritual things for the pursuit, the endless pursuit of their material goals. If I'm investing so much into physical me, that just might mean clothes, it might mean nails, it might mean hair, it might mean shoes. Am I neglecting to love my less fortunate and needy brethren? If I spend so much on me, do I have anything left to give those who are in need, who may need my help? There's going to be a sacrifice. So investments require sacrifice. They require self-control. And there's going to be sacrifice involved depending on what choice you make. Well, what's the most important choice to make? Well, here's the third principle. The worth of an investment, whether or not it's worth investing in, is seen in its return. We understand this in the stock market world and all that sort of thing, right? You know, is this worth investing in? Well, is the stock going to go up or is the stock going to tank? If the stock's going to go up, then perhaps it's worth taking some of my money, investing it into that stock because there's a good prediction ahead for how that stock's going to perform. But if I'm going to lose a bunch of money in it, that's maybe not a good investment. the worth of an investment, whether or not it's worth investing in, is seen in the return. So what's the return if I invest in material treasures? If you take a look at Matthew chapter 6, he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Here's the advice of Jesus, the counsel of Jesus. Is don't focus on earthly things. Why? Because moth and rust will destroy it, and thieves can break in and steal it. It is a temporal return. Treasures on earth ultimately result in a situation where it's very possible that what you've invested in isn't going to last long. We could do a whole study on Ecclesiastes, and that's the big picture point of Ecclesiastes. You got a man, Solomon, who invested in gardens and houses and possessions and money and women and entertainment and musicians and even jesters and comedians. And he invested in all that stuff. And what's he learned about it? It's vanity. Short-lived. Only lasts a short time. What should he have been focusing on? He says the conclusion of the whole matter is this. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Because there's a long-term reward for that investment. Clothes get old and they go out of style. That's why Goodwill makes so much money on your leftover stuff. Cars rust and they wear down. Grain molds and it's eaten by mice. Thieves and burglars can loot, can pillage, and can steal. Earthly treasures come with only one real guarantee. You can't take it with you. That's the guarantee. When you're dead and you're gone, you're not taking anything that you've piled up here on earth with you. U-Hauls don't follow hearses. There are no pockets in a shroud. What's the return if we invest in heavenly treasures? Well, the return is an eternal one. He says, neither moth nor rust destroys. Thieves do not break in and steal. You don't have to worry about this return. Your reward is safe with the Lord. So with that in mind, should the bulk of our lives focus, should it be on material things? Or should it be on spiritual things? I think the answer is pretty obvious. I don't think we have to get too intricate with the details on that. Now, the biggest point, the last point, is this. And I really just want to spend the rest of our time focusing on. Because sometimes it just seems like people aren't interested in spiritual things. They aren't interested in laying up treasures in heaven. They are interested more in earthly things. So how do we get people interested? What's the problem here? I think verse 21, that little short verse, Matthew 6 and verse 21, kind of tells you what the problem is. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It is greatly concerning, it is very frustrating that when we live in a culture that doesn't seem interested in the gospel. So why is that the case? Well, quite simply, I think a lot of it has to do with the materialism of our culture, for one thing. For many people, they have grown up under the influence of a highly secularized worldview that's motivated by the American dream of prosperity. And so what's the emphasis of their life? What does their heart tend toward? Well, the emphasis is placed on a life of earthly success and earthly pleasure. In their worldview, in so many people's worldview, to have earthly success, well, then you've got to have money. You've got to have a nice house. You've got to have a nice car. Maybe you've got to have political power. And so that's a big focus. To get money, you need college educations. And so we encourage people, go to college. Make good grades. You got to get socially promoted so that you can get references and recommendations. And so when that's our focus and that's our worldview, the spiritual becomes unimportant in our hearts because the supreme sign of a successful life, according to that worldview, is climbing the corporate ladder and drinking to the fullest of all the joys that this life can offer. And that's exactly what Jesus says you're not supposed to be doing and focused upon. And the hearts of many in the world have not been cultivated to appreciate the eternal blessings God has to offer, but instead they appreciate the temporal blessings this world has to offer. But from the worldview of Jesus, you can acquire all of these earthly successes. You can be valedictorian, and you can get a full ride scholarship, and you can become the CEO, you've climbed the top of the corporate ladder, and you can have piles and piles of money for you that creates generational wealth, and you can still be a failure. Luke chapter 12, you find in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, he says this, "One from the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' And Jesus says, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?'" Jesus basically says, "I'm not going to get involved in your inheritance stuff. That's not what I'm here to do." But he does say this, verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Your true worth and your true value does not consist in how much money is in your bank account and how much stuff you have. That's what Jesus is saying. And yet so many people think that's what their worth is. It's in what I've got. And then Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And this rich man thought within himself, 'What do I do? I've got no room to store my crops.'" I mean, that's, most of us would say that's a good problem to have. "I got so many crops, I ran out of silo space. So what should I do?" He says, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones. And I'm going to store all my crops and all my goods. And I'm going to say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Now, for so many people, that's the American dream. We want to become so prosperous that we've got everything just right. The right house, the right car, the right amount of money, the right amount invested. That's the fulfillment of the American dream, so that we can retire one day, so that we can just kind of hang out, live out the rest of our lives, eating whatever food that we want to eat, drinking whatever we want to drink, just relaxing in a hammock under some palm trees in Florida. Right? But what Jesus says about this is, God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you, and then whose will those things be which you have provided?" Jesus doesn't say that's commended thinking. That's foolish thinking, because you aren't thinking about the soul. And he says this in verse 21, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Following Jesus is no guarantee of worldly success. It might actually lead to earthly struggles. When you look at the life of the apostles, it was not a life of earthly pleasure. But it was a life for those apostles that produced a powerful return on investment that far too many are not long-sighted enough to see. What's the return? Eternity in heaven with the risen Jesus, who proves to us that there is an eternity. There is a life after death. And it's that same Jesus who encouraged us to live for that, to put our focus there. Now, because the apostles realized the value of the eternal investment, that's why they were singularly invested in their work. And that is the principle that I want to lay down as we finish up here. They knew the return on investment, and that's why they bought in. Now, we realize those outside of Christ might not be interested, but I think another frustration of churches sometimes, and maybe in America today, maybe in other countries too, who knows? But sometimes one of our frustrations is it seems like even Christians are uninterested and unmotivated. What's the problem? Why can't we get people more interested and motivated to be involved in spiritual things? Well, I want you to think about the principle here. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. According to Jesus, I think it's an issue of investment. If you will put your treasure in spiritual things, your heart is going to go along with it. Members of churches are not interested in spiritual things. Their heart isn't really with those things if they haven't invested in it. Let me illustrate that for a minute. Why does an adult lie awake at night worried about whether or not they locked their car or closed the garage door on the house or they locked the front door? Have you been there? I've been there. I worry about it because, well, that's my car, and I don't want someone to steal it or to steal the things from it, right? I own it. I've invested in it. and I do not want to risk my investment. So sometimes if I forget to lock it, I'm laying there. Sometimes I'm too lazy to get up because I'm just sitting. So because I don't get up, I just lay there all night worried about it when I should just get up and go lock it. But you lay there thinking, did I lock my car? Did I close the garage door on the house? Why am I worried about closing the garage? I don't want people coming to my garage and stealing stuff out of my garage in the middle of the night. I've invested in the stuff that's in my garage. I don't want people taking stuff out of it. I don't want people coming into my house and robbing my house. I've invested in my house. I've invested in the people who live in my house with me. You know what? My kids don't lie awake at night worried about any of that stuff. What a blessed thing to not have to worry about stuff like that, right? You know why they don't worry about it? They haven't invested in the house. They haven't invested in the car, although they have their own cars. They haven't invested in a lot of stuff in the garage, so they don't really worry about stuff like that. When you invest in things, you get more interested in those things. Now, think about that on a spiritual level or on a physical level. When I was younger, I thought my parents were kind of evil people. The reason why is they made me buy my own truck. I had other friends. Their parents were just buying them trucks. I had to buy my own truck. They made me pay for my own college. I had friends. Their parents paid for their college. My parents made me pay for my college. They made me pay rent for the house that they owned, that I was living in, while I was in college, paying for the truck and the college. And I was like, I got friends, Mom, Dad. You know, their parents are paying. They're not making them pay rent. They're not making them pay for their car. They're not making them pay for their school. Now, why do my parents do that? Now, the older I get, the smarter my parents get. Because I also had friends, their parents were paying for college, and they didn't care if they partied and flunked out. They weren't invested in it. Parents were. And they didn't care if they wrecked their car. They weren't invested in it. Parents were. They didn't care if they messed up the house. They weren't invested in it. Parents were. But when you're the one who's invested in the car, you want to take care of that car. And when you're the one who's invested in the college, you want to make good grades because you don't want to flunk one single class because you have to pay for that class again. When you invest in things, you become more interested in those things. Why does a deadbeat dad care far less about his kids than a single mom who's committed to his children? He's not invested. He just made a baby, ran off, left. He's not invested, but the mom who's invested in those kids, or the dad, depend, I'm trying to be prejudiced here, but whoever's invested in those kids is interested in those kids. Your heart is with them because you have put time, talents, treasures into them, and you care about them. Now, those who do not invest are usually the least interested. That's true physically, that's true spiritually. You don't invest in spiritual things. You don't invest in the church. You may not be interested. Before I went to, I preached in Barbados 3 or 4 times now. Before I went there, I did not care what was going on with the work in the Barbados. I didn't even know what was going on. But now that I've gone there, I've invested in it. I've knocked on doors, preached to people, and worked with people. I'm interested in what's going on there. There's a lot of churches in America. I'm really interested in what's going on here in Cocoa, Indiana. Why? I spent 15 years investing in the people here and in the work here. So I'm still interested in what's going on. So when I get here, when I hung out at the Davidsons last night, got here about 8 o'clock last night, drove up from Alabama, I'm asking, how's this person doing? How's this person doing? How are things going with this person? I'm just interested in how everybody's doing. Because when you invest in something, your heart is with those people. And the same is true spiritually. If you invest in your children spiritually, you're going to care about their spiritual progress. You invest in kingdom work financially, you're going to care about how kingdom work is doing locally here and globally in other places. You invest in hospitality with others and take some time to actually sit, talk, get to know people in the church. You're going to want to know how things are going. You're continually going to be following up with those people because you're interested in them now. You've developed a relationship. You've invested, and now you're interested. You invest in people who are struggling spiritually. You hear their stories. You hear why they're discouraged. You hear why they're weak. And you're going to find yourself more concerned spiritually when they're not here. You're going to question, is something wrong? Is something going on? Is there some way that I can help? Because once you invest, you start getting interested in people. You invest in personal evangelism, you're going to care more about the visitors. You teach Bible classes downstairs, and you work with those little kids who you heard praying when they were 2, 3, 4 years old. And when they're 18 and 19 and 20, you're going to want to know, how are those kids doing now? I remember I invested a lot of time in them when they were younger, and I want to know how they're doing. But if you don't invest, you're not as interested. Invest. Where your treasure is, where you invest, there your heart will be also. Sometimes we think it's the opposite. Well, I got to be interested before I invest. Now, Jesus says, here's how it works. If you'll start to invest in spiritual things, your heart will go along with it and you will be interested. Today, you've made an investment to be here. I hope that you'll continue to make an investment this week as you have opportunity. I'm so thankful that you've made that investment. It means a lot to me. But I encourage you, make the right choice. Realize the long-term good of making the right choice, the sacrifices that might be involved in making that choice, and realize that if you'll invest in spiritual things, your heart will go along with it. So thanks for your attention. Appreciate it.